The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses, throughout all the land of Egypt. The land was ruined by the swarms of flies." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons," while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. You may be seated. As we hear that account of what happened in Luke's gospel, that really happened. The Lord did it. The people marveled. You heard, and in this marveling, there were different responses. You're told, but some of them said he cast out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. So Jesus did what really happened in the gospel reading today, and St. Luke recorded this account for you. The Lord did something good, even as he himself is good. Not only that, but he did this by the finger of God. His own hand, which means the kingdom of God has indeed come upon them, just as Jesus said. And so there's great significance in what Jesus did and said as you sit here this third Sunday in Lent to consider what all this means. The name of this Sunday comes from the antiphon of the introit from Psalm 25. "My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." And you see, that's instruction for you to think, meditate, and take to heart those words considering this gospel reading. Your eyes are ever to be toward the Lord. He will pluck your feet out of the net. You pray for him to turn to you and to be gracious to you, for you are lonely and afflicted. The flip side of that is deadly, because to take your eyes off of Jesus, you find your state worse than the first. Now listen again to what your Lord said. Jesus goes on in that gospel reading explaining what this means for the people. "But he," Jesus, "knowing their thoughts, said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So you don't have to look hard to see divided kingdoms. They're everywhere around you. And I don't mean nations or earthly kingdoms, although you do see those as well. Here, though, Jesus is getting at what you see with your eyes when you look at the world around you and you see the works of the devil and his demons are alive and well. When you look at the church on this earth, you see all sorts of false teachings and divisions which seek to rob Christ of his rightful authority and rule. Look at your own family and you see sin and division because of it. Then, finally, look at your own self and you see your own heart and mind, and you see that division of the old man who does not seek after God, but instead sin fighting against this new man, which has been recreated to live before God and his kingdom in righteousness and purity forever. So your eyes look, and they see this all around you and from within your own self. And Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. Moreover, Jesus goes further to say, whoever is not with him is against him, and whoever does not gather with him scatters. So listen to Jesus. You're warned by him and all of this with what your eyes see. You're warned to not to stop looking at him. You're warned against what you cannot see, but it is just as deadly as well. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. Now, St. Peter would echo this in 2 Peter 2 when he wrote by divine inspiration, for whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. So when you start to think about this reading and what's all going on, maybe first or initially, the reaction then is to get caught up in Jesus exorcising a demon. Hollywood likes stuff like this because it sounds exciting, when in all reality, it should terrify you. The reason this should terrify you is because this stuff is real. Demons are real. They were back then. They are now. They're at work in this world trying to destroy Christ and his church. And one is either living under the influence of demons, the devil and his kingdom, or one has the Holy Spirit and lives according to the Spirit. So this warning then is directed towards you. It's directed to Christians. There's a danger of complacency that you let into your lives, even within the church. And it comes back to either neglecting or rejecting what God has given to you in your baptism. Listen again to that epistle reading and what God says there about our lives in Christ. St. Paul writes, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. So God lays out the foundation that you are beloved children. He does this at the beginning of that reading, and then when he exhorts you to walk as children of light. Because as Jesus says, the devil is a strong man. Don't you ever forget that. His tactics are to lie. They're to deceive you into thinking what God says is bad or evil and what he promotes is right and good and think your life is at peace. So think about this now in terms of what you have been given in baptism, which is what God teaches in the previous chapter to our epistle reading. Don't go back into what you have been delivered from by God in your baptism, but walk as children of light. But look how easily we let our guard down. Look how easily our eyes start to wander and start to go according to the pattern of the fallen world and our sinful flesh. We let this happen and how much the state of our lives is worse than the first. Even within the church, it's easy. We think, get our kids baptized, check. Get them the confirmation class, check. Get them the confirmed, check. Everything is in order. But then the devil sees the opportunity and he starts to wiggle his way through in your life and other things. Well, it won't hurt you to take that job where you'll be working on Sundays. You'll be taking care of your family. It won't hurt them to let them make their own decisions and be their own people. It's not going to hurt your kids by letting them do everything and anything and demand all of their time and travel away for anything and everything and far in between. Because, after all, just the things of God are one morning a week when it fits your schedule. The devil wants you just to think these things are just all a matter of priorities or perspective, and that your faith can't die when you don't hear God's word and receive the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. Or when you take your eyes off of Christ, when you teach them that despite what God's word says about certain things that they see in their lives or their friends in their school, or what they're taught in any number of things in the various media they consume, they can't be unharmed, right? Just so long as they have faith, whatever that means, they'll be okay. But the devil is a strong man. Jesus himself said, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral parties. There's no fence sitting when it comes to the things of God. Either you're for Christ or you're not. The devil, though, is fine with sharing loyalties. That's the thing. The devil isn't picky. He's tolerant of various beliefs and lives. He's fine if you want to put God in the picture and everything else on the same level as him. That's okay with him. The devil is nice about those things. But God, though, is a jealous God. And he demands total fear, total love, total trust. So we think our lives are at peace, but then the devil offers false peace. But only God gives the peace that passes all understanding. And so falling away from the Christian faith is real. So is the danger of being lukewarm. There are two times in the New Testament Jesus says those who are lukewarm, that is, they are indifferent towards the things of God, that they're neither hot nor cold. And the Greek verb that he uses there is, he says he will vomit them out of his mouth. Turning away from Christ and fixing your eyes on sin is deadly. The epistle reading makes that clear. He warns the Christians, the saints at Ephesus. He warned them as he warns you, the danger of taking your eyes off of Jesus in this life. He called them to walk as children of light. And you also are called to repent, lest you fall away and see your state worse than the first. So in the midst of all of the seriousness and the danger and the real things that should rightly terrify you in this reading today, what comfort is there in all of this? Is there any comfort? Is there any hope? Well, the reading today ends with these words. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised up her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So you see, there is protection against all of this. And not only that, there's deliverance. It's found in Christ. Because you remember Jesus said the devil is a strong man? But you see, here's the thing. Christ is the stronger man who has overcome the strong man. And Jesus has done this through his perfect obedient life, through his suffering, and through his death for you in your place. Through the weakness of the cross, Christ crucified, you are redeemed and set free from the bonds of sin, death, and the devil. Listen to the words at the end of Isaiah 53. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be counted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. So blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And that's what's given to you and covers you with Christ and his whole person, his whole work, his whole righteousness. And you see, there's confidence to face the devil who is strong. Make no mistake about that. But you see, the confidence that you have is found in the stronger man. And that's who you are united with. The confidence to see your sin and stand up against temptation is that your Lord is the one who has overcome it for you and the one who forgives you. The confidence even to face death is because the Lord took your sin upon himself, died in your place to satisfy God's righteous anger against your sin and pay the price you deserve. It's the confidence to stare it in the face and know that even if you die in this life, you live. And you will rise from the grave even as Jesus is risen. He is the stronger man. You have the stronger man. That's the confidence to know this all has been done for you and that you stand even right now righteous before the very throne of God because Jesus has risen victoriously from the grave. So all of these dangers are real. But greater is your Lord and the preservation and protection you have in Jesus, the stronger man who has no one stronger than him or no equal. Baptized into Christ, you have the Lord, you have his kingdom, and it has come upon you, even as you pray, thy kingdom come in the Lord's Prayer. The small catechism sums it up beautifully in both the second and third petitions of the Lord's Prayer. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. And not only that, but this is the will done in your life, even as God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come, and when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die. This is his good and gracious will. That's God's kingdom come to you in your midst. That's God's will in your life as he breaks these things, as he strengthens these things, and as he preserves you in that faith that he has given to you. So dear people of God, fix your eyes on Jesus, for he has fixed his eyes toward Jerusalem for you. Listen again to those words of the antiphon of the intro to know where the Lord directs your eyes. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. So what a joy it really is to have such a sight to behold your Lord Jesus and to have freely, fully, all that he has done simply out of his grace and his mercy toward you. Your sin has been atoned for. The devil has been defeated. Death has been destroyed. That's who your Lord is. And who places before you his your eyes before him as he has baptized you, as he gives you his word, as he feeds you with his supper. Because you are his dear children, and he guards and keeps you, his strong and righteous arms, which cannot be broken. So thanks be to God for such work. Thanks be to God for such comfort in Christ, who does all things well, who gives you his word this very day, who gives you the victory, and you are his spoil that he will not let you be taken away from. So your Lord fixes you on him, and he keeps you gazing at your gracious Savior and salvation. And blessed are you in that word, for yours is the kingdom, which no one can destroy and plunder, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.